think will be just fine. But so we're going to talk about that game. We're also going to have members of the cross country team. I haven't had a chance to speak with them yet, so we'll be speaking with cross country runners to kind of get an update on their season and where they sit or whatever. And then also Ned the Horse Farmer will be calling in. He does our Farmington games, Farmington football for KYMNSports.net. So he'll call in later. And then after that, I'll recap how some other Raider teams did. Volleyball wrapping up their season. Soccer now in sections, both key victories for the boys and girls soccer teams. So things going really crazy right now for the Raider fall sports season, and we're going to try to do our best to cover them all today here on Raider App. But while I have them down here, I've got a couple of coaches, Dylan Gala and Charlie Cloud, also Caleb Voigt, a wide receiver and cornerback. He's a junior on the Raider football team, and we're going to talk about last night's game and also get a little bit of a JV perspective, as these guys are some of the JV coaches, and I always like to cover all of the teams that that Northfield puts out. Bubba Sullivan, those guys with the short week coming up on Wednesday, going through a little walkthrough and everything like that. So we're going to learn a little bit more about JV, but these guys are also very capable of speaking on the varsity as well, as they help coach with that. So let's go ahead and bring them on today. I'm going to say good morning, guys.
Good morning.
All right, Charlie, we're just going to go ahead and start with you, just, you know, from a coaching perspective, your thoughts on the game last night.
You know, it was the game. We started out really well, kind of got a good start and got ahead, but, you know, Owatonna's a really good team. Obviously, they're the state champs for a reason, and we just made too many mistakes, and when you make mistakes against those guys, you're usually going to pay for them. But we did some good things early, just, you know, maybe change a few things here and there.
Okay. Dylan Gala, another assistant coach here for the Raiders, and you know, you coach on Northfield, you do the running backs a little bit, and Owatonna had a really good running back, but you guys were able to contain him. Talk about the effort that the defense put out there stopping Jason Williamson last night.
Yeah, our defense really played well, flowed to the ball hard, stayed home to avoid those cutbacks, which has been kind of their MO a little bit earlier in the season. But yeah, little things here and there, we let them get loose a couple times, but overall they bottled them up and just kind of nickeled and dimed us for 3-4 yards here and there. And he never gets tired, you know. Mm-hmm. He's got 30 carries and he just keeps going. And but I think the defense looked back at it and did some really good things. And like Charlie said, there's still some things that we can tweak and do better. And we hope we see him again.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. And Caleb Voigt, he's a junior on the team, plays a little wide receiver and cornerback here. Gets a lot of work in JV and two. Caleb, what are your thoughts on the season so far? What has this Raider team been doing well this season?
I feel like we've played really well as a team. Like, we've come together to unite as one, and like, we're able to, just like work together, I guess. And when we go against a team, like, we all congratulate each other when like a good play happens, and that even when like the backups get in at the end of the games, like the starters are really happy that we're out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, Caleb, I was one of you. I was kind of more of a role player on the team, so got in at the end of some of those games or whatever, and got to perform. And you know, just talk about the mentality that you have and how exciting it can be to get out on the varsity field like that, Caleb. Especially you being a junior, you still have another year coming back. So
yeah, there is no other experience when you're out there on the Friday night lights, and when you have your teammates and your fans cheering you on the sidelines, it's just an awesome feeling that just can never be recreated.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, go ahead and let's talk about, you know, offensively, Northfield, you know, they were able to took some breaks from Owatonna for Northfield to kind of get that offensive movement. Otherwise, it was a little bit stagnant. What was Owatonna defensively bringing for you guys that kind of stopped the offense a little bit?
You know, I think they were pretty physical. They're probably the most physical team we've played this year, and at times we were able to match that, but when you go on a stretch of plays, when they're kind of out physicaling us a little bit, it can wear on you a little bit. And you know, that was the biggest thing that we took away, was we just kind of got to come back and be a little more physical.
All right. Dylan, I want to get your thoughts. You know, Mitch Stanchina, Jimmy Vitito, those guys have really been taking the load here. Mason Zick at quarterback, and then getting some pretty good receiver play in. You know, talk about what was their mentality after that game, because I think they all know that they probably could have played a little bit better. What was the mentality of those guys afterwards?
Well, yeah, like you've said, they've had a really big year. But they're always getting better. You know, I think they came away from that game, and that was the first game where, you know, really caught their attention of like how much room they have to grow. But I think they came today with that really positive mentality. They know they did some things well, You know, they have, that team has to respect them. But yeah, in the film session, they were really locked in, keyed in on their position, but also like Mason, you know, how, what are my O-linemen doing, what are my receivers doing? So they're locked in, ready to go, and getting ready for Wednesday. And but we also need other guys to step up. Luke LaPanta played really well, and we have a lot of guys that have great ability. We just need them to step up.
What were the, what did the Raiders, I guess maybe I'll ask, go back to Dylan on this. What did the Raiders do well last night when you guys as a coaching staff looked at the team and was like, hey, you know, we performed well in this area. Anything stick out to you?
Well, in the passing game, I thought we got off of their man coverage pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So we gave ourselves a chance there. Our pass protection was pretty good. You know, they got home a little bit when the coverage beat us a couple times. But our pass protection was solid, which was awesome. Good communication up front and from our running backs. And our receivers worked hard. You know, they played through the whistle, really working hard to get open. Moving with Mason when he had to get out of the pocket a little bit. So that was the biggest thing we took away, and got a little work to do on our run game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're still, you know, pull some positives from everything.
Again, the final last night was 29-11. Raiders lose to Owatonna and probably more than likely a share of the Big Southeast title. However, Rochester Centric comes on Wednesday, which is going to be a huge game with playoff implications. Basically, they're playing for the 2 and 3 seed. And the reason that's important is because if you're a 2 seed or a 1 seed, you get a bye and you do not have to play that Tuesday game. If you lose, you're the 3 seed and you'll get a home game, but you will have to play on Tuesday and you'll have to play an extra game. So Rochester Centric on Wednesday coming up for the Raiders, the MEA game. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but guys, I want to talk about, you know, Dylan and Charlie do a little bit of work with the JV team here, JV coach, and also Caleb gets a lot of work on JV. So let's talk about your guys' season so far. And Caleb, I'll bring it up to you here and just talk a little bit about the JV team and, you know, kind of some things that some of the best parts about playing for JV and these guys that you've had a chance to play with here for now for the season.
So some of the guys I feel like are really progressing as the season goes along, and we're progressively working towards what Friday nights is, which is varsity football. And I feel like as the season has gone on, that we are working towards those, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Caleb, how long have you been playing football?
I've been playing football since sixth grade.
Okay, so when you could start tackling and you got it at homecoming and play at halftime, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then all the way through. And what made you, what drew you to football? What made you want to be a part of it?
Well, ever since I was young, I just loved the game of football. Mm-hmm. And so ever since then, I just love being out on the field, catching balls and stuff like that. So,
all right. Yeah. Charlie, ask you as a JV coach, and it looks like you and Dylan do that JV work. These are future Raiders. These are guys that are kind of waiting in the wings here or whatever. What are some things that the JV team, what are some strengths of this team on the JV side?
You know, the JV group, I think we got a lot. I think the future's bright, and kind of what we've, kind of our motto or all years has been about improvement, and it's always building towards, you know, getting to Friday nights. And of course, as JV, you want to win every game, but it's just about getting better each week. And by the end of this year, you know, JV, we just have one game left. So those guys, it's, you know, time to elevate their level and start playing like a varsity player, because that's what, you know, that's the end goal.
Okay.
But it's just, it's been fun with, you know, all the younger guys on the team. You'll see some of those guys out there next year, which will be fun. Some names we might recognize just with some older brothers on the team or old players and stuff like that.
All right. Dylan, talk a little bit about the message that you as a coach and staff have to give, and me having played JV, knowing that my opportunity is just one, you know, for whatever reason, God forbid, injury away or something like that, where your number gets called or whatever. And what's the message that you say to these JV guys, knowing that they are waiting in the wings a little bit?
Well, we talk about always being ready. You know, Caleb here has done a really, really good job for us this year, and it's been nice to have him on offense, kind of becoming a go-to guy. So just always ready, and, you know, it matters. The varsity mm-hmm. coaches are watching. The varsity coaches notice, you know. So when Caleb has a big game, you know, those varsity coaches, Coach Sullivan, Coach Thornton, they're asking, you know, wow, he did a good job here. You know, what's he doing well? What's he got to work on? So our guys have to always be ready. They have to know that the varsity coaches are paying attention and that they care. And then we just talk a lot about effort and attitude, you know, and controlling the things that we can control. So, you know, are you getting in the weight room? Are you doing extra reps? Are you staying after practice to work with our quarterbacks? You know, are you asking questions when you don't know?
Okay. Caleb, I want to ask this question here about the importance of, you know, playing on JV and everything, and then knowing that those that the coaches are watching, and what kind of that can do mentality for you guys, knowing that you have to step up and perform.
Yeah, so when I'm on the field, I try not to think about that. I just try to put it all out, all on the line, and I just try to do my best.
Okay. And also, one of the big parts about this is you guys usually give the look to the varsity guys. They're either doing the opposing team's plays or the opposing team's defense. And I can say from being in that position that that's very important. And I know that those guys that are playing on Friday nights at this time really appreciate that. Talk about, you know, how you and your other your guys, you know, on scout team or whatever, get to prepare for these guys and, you know, what that can mean for a team on Friday night.
So when we do scout, I believe that not only does it make them better, but it also makes us better because they're a lot better than us. So when they run plays, we try to do it better than them. And when we make a good play on scout, that makes them look bad. So then it just makes us look a lot better. So
it can get a little testy in practice. I know this because when you beat those guys on a play or whatever, you kind of look back with the other guys and you're just like, yeah, that's right, we got this. So it can be fun sometimes. Yes. I totally get it. I get it. Coming from your perspective, Caleb, absolutely. Dylan, again, we're speaking with Dylan Gala, Charlie Cloud, a couple of coaches for the team, and also Caleb Voigt, recapping a little bit about the JV season. You guys are JV wise 3-4 on the season, one more game to go. But I guess one of the things that I like to ask is, you know, Charlie and Dylan, being from the coaching side of thing, how fun is it, you know, being able to coach kids like this? You guys not much older than them yourselves, as I look at you, you look pretty darn young here. And but how fun is it kind of transitioning from being a player? Dylan, I understand you play a little bit at the University of Minnesota for a little bit.
I was a student assistant there.
Student assistant, you not play.
Yeah, not good enough to play.
So you want coaching as kind of something that you would like to pursue.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. So
thanks. Come,
so. Yeah. Appreciate well, hey, I try. You just wear the University of Minnesota sweatshirt on there and everything. I go to the my dad and I go to the Wisconsin Minnesota games every year, and we're 1-14.
But I should have just ran with that one.
Okay, Charlie. I remember you from sitting in this chair where Caleb is right now as a player and doing everything. But how fun is it, Charlie and Dylan? I'll ask you the same question. Being a coach and kind of coming at this perspective and coaching these young kids, knowing that you were a player at one time and now transitioning to that phase.
Yeah, you know, I love it. You know, I've been doing it for 3 years now, and it's just fun to, you know, I had such a fun time as a student athlete, and it's just fun to see these young kids, you know, have those same great experiences, and you're out there playing with your, you know, your best friends, that guys you've grown up with. It's, you know, some of the best times you'll have, and it's just fun to see these guys grow into leaders and just come ready to work hard and learn every day.
All right, Dylan, same question. Coaching these kids here and what that's like.
Oh, it's a lot of fun because it's not the same pressure that you're getting on a Friday night. So as a coach, you can kind of take chances and do some different things and try some different things. And I know as coaches, like, we're learning and growing too. And this is the first time I've called plays ever, you know, so a lot of mistakes being made, you know, but our kids just love to have fun and compete, and it's fun being side by side with them and just really cultivating that effort, cultivating the attitude of being a Raider and being a Raider football player. And like Charlie said, you know, watching these guys grow as players and as people throughout the year has been a lot of fun. And I think we're just really excited to see what they do next year and the year after. And like Charlie said earlier, the future is bright for Northfield.
We like to hear that. Guys, real quick, we just got to really quickly touch on Century here as you guys got a short week and prepare. Dylan or Charlie, what can we expect from the Panthers here on Wednesday, kind of what they're going to bring to the table? Dylan, maybe we'll ask you that a little bit.
Defensively, they're fast, they're physical. They've come with a mean state of mind, and I think it's going to be a really big test. You know, we talked about it earlier, just having to be more physical up front, and skill position wise, just being kind of crafty and finding some spots in the defense and exploiting some of their weaknesses. But they're going to be fast, they're going to be physical, and it's for a high seed in the playoffs, so we're going to get their best shot for sure.
Charlie, this is a team that knocked Northfield out of the playoffs last year in sort of minor upset fashion, I think, in that section semifinal game. I know you don't like to bring year to year, but is there a little tinge of a revenge factor for Northfield trying here, or is it more focus on getting that number two seed and forget about last year?
You know, I'd probably say there's a little bit of both. You know, obviously the focus is, you know, the you know, right now, getting that two seed and getting the bye in the playoffs. But it's in the back of everybody's head, you know, there's that revenge factor, and you can use that as fuel. You know, we all know what happened last year in the playoffs, and we always have good battles with these guys, and they're going to be a really good team. But I think, you know, it's a short week, and I think it's good for us to kind of turn the page. And, you know, it's we're treating this like a playoff game. They're all playoff games from here on out, kind of do or die. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a both, and we can just use that as fuel.
All right, and then Caleb, we're going to end with you. What do you need to do? And guys get to prepare. It's a short week here, so kind of practice is going to be a little bit different, but what's it going to take to get ready for Rochester Century?
I think we have to forget about that Owatonna game and just move forward. We just got to get right back into the practice and just forget about the Owatonna game.
Sounds good. Well, guys, we'll be there. We'll be there rooting you on. It'd be good to get back home after 2 weeks on the road, so looking forward to get back to Memorial Field. Good luck on Wednesday against Century. Yep, forget about last night. Put it on. Maybe we'll get to see Owatonna again. If so, a little different result, hopefully, but right now it's Rochester Century. Go get ready for him, and thanks for coming in today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. That's Dylan Gala, Charlie Cloud, and Caleb Voigt from the Raider football team. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Liberal Todd Lippert is no different from his Minneapolis party bosses. They raised taxes on farmers, families, and seniors by $2 billion, wasted millions on sculpture gardens and luxury offices for career politicians. Lippert's political pals made our health care bills skyrocket. They taxed our insurance to pay for the broken Minsure website, gave big bonuses to Minsure executives. We can't afford more of that. Say no to Todd Lippert on November 6th.
This independent expenditure is paid for by the House Republican Campaign Committee. It is not coordinated with or approved by any candidate, nor is any candidate responsible for it.
Wake up, take a shower, feed the kids, make kids lunch, kids to school, drive to work, work, drive home, help with homework, mow the lawn, kids to sports, run errands, make dinner, do the dishes, do the laundry, walk the dog, pick up the house, kids to bed. Ah, kick your shoes off and relax.
As a proud supporter of Northfield Schools and Raider Athletics, everyone at ServiceMaster by Iat knows that life can seem to get away from you. Balancing daily schedules of work along with kids' school and sports schedules can seem to be impossible at times, but you find a way to do it. When you finally get a chance to kick your shoes off, ServiceMaster by Iat will make sure your feet relax on soft, clean floors. They deserve it.
Have you stood in a gym surrounded by equipment and wondered what you should be doing? Have you stepped onto a treadmill with headphones and just zoned out? Step into CrossFit Scopos instead and let our coaches and community challenge and change you with a program scaled for you and a whole community of people cheering you on to be your best self. Go to CrossFitScopos.com and learn more, then take a free class. Come talk to me. I'm Greg Berube, the owner. That's CrossFit Scopos in Dundas by Menards.
Farmers, all of us at Dakota Electric Association wish you an abundant harvest this fall. During this busy time of year, please be careful around overhead power lines. Watch equipment near poles and lines. And please, stay safe this harvest season.
When you take your family on a little getaway.
Dad, are we there yet?
Mom, Johnny hit me.
I'm hungry.
Don't spend your vacation waiting for a tow truck. Visit Elite Auto Care for an inspection before you go. They can repair your air for a cool and safe trip. Elite Auto Care will also replace those worn out tires or brakes. Now, while they can't do anything about whiny kids, they can make it a safer, more comfortable trip for everyone. Find them 6 days a week at 517 Water Street, Northfield, or online at EliteAutoCareMN.com.
95.1.
The One.
All right, and welcome back to Raider Rap, everybody. We're going to now transition from football to another fall sport. It's cross country. And, of course, this is a sport. Northfield High School does a fantastic job having a number of opportunities and activities for student-athletes to participate in. Of course, cross country, one of those big ones there, boys and girls cross country team. And I've got some representatives from the cross country team. I got Elizabeth and Grace Atchison from the girls' side, Martin Bryce and Josh Beisel from the boys' side to talk about their seasons up to this point and what got them involved in cross country. Just have a really good conversation and learn a little bit more about this cross country team. So I guess, Elizabeth, we'll start with you since you're on the end there. But for the girls' side of things, can you go ahead and just give a brief recap of how the girls' cross country season has gone so far this year?
So it's gone really well. We lost our number one and number five runners from last year, but a lot of girls have come in to take those places, and there's been a lot of competition on the JV side, which really pushes the varsity as well. And both teams have seen a lot of success throughout the season. We've had a lot of time drops and really strong finishes in our races, so it's been going really well so far.
All right. Martin, swing that microphone over to you. From the boys' perspective, how you guys been doing?
We've been doing great. I think a lot of our seniors graduated, so that leaves our varsity team with a lot of young guys like me. But we've been trying to get everybody has been dropping, seen a lot of improvements and a lot of people dropping past the 18-minute mark to get onto the varsity squad. And it's like Grace or Elizabeth said, it's been really great to have a lot of competition from the JV because it's such a tight pack because we have so many young guys that there's like always competition, and we have a lot of great grouping on the in the races to push each other. And I think we'll probably we've gotten a lot better this season, and we need to continue that motion with Nicole to get a really strong team next year.
Grace, let's go ahead and Grace Atchison, let's go ahead and ask you, you know, about the, you know, your sister talked a little bit. Is it sisters? I'm assuming. I'm looking. Oh, you are twins. One has glasses, one doesn't. That's an easy way to tell a boy. Okay, very good. Yes, of course you're twins. Okay, thank you. Grace, so what your sister was saying about, you know, losing some runners from last year, and so having others step up or whatever, can you just talk about that mentality, knowing that you, your sister, and some of the other girls now have opportunities to be those people that get to step up there, and then how that kind of has motivated you, if you will, for the season?
Over the season, the girls have really been closing the gap between number one and number seven. We've all been training pretty hard together. And I think as we start to taper, as the championship season comes up, it's looking pretty strong.
Okay. Let's go, Brandon and Josh Beisel. Josh, I want to same question to you via stepping off what Martin was saying about, you know, opportunities for people and just how you and some of the other runners on the team have been taking to those opportunities.
Yeah, so I think on the varsity squad, we probably have, I think there's only, I'd say, four places, those top four guys that are pretty much cemented in there just because they're running such good times. But we've had a lot of injuries this season on the guys' side to some of our good runners, which has opened up the doors for a lot of young guys and a lot of guys who've been on the team for a while. So the varsity lineup, as far as the guys goes, has seen a lot of variety just because of those factors. But there's been just a lot of people stepping up and really going out and running their hardest, knowing that they're in competition for a varsity spot pretty much whenever they go out and run because of those injuries and just other factors.
Okay. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the competition that you guys will go against. Martin, we'll start with you. And this is an individual question to you, but one of the teams that you really like to run against.
Oh, I think my favorite team to run against is Northfield, honestly.
Okay,
just
fair
because
enough.
It's like you can, since we, like I've said, since we have such a tight pack, you're always going to be running with somebody that you know, and it's been really great to, I run with Adam, and he always pushes me to try to get my fastest times in the race, so he's been really valuable to me over the season to try to, like, get me up there on varsity, and it's been really nice running with him.
Okay, Grace, same question to you. Personally, your favorite team to run against?
Personally, I'll have to say Otana.
Okay.
Over the years, it's always been really close between us, and this year especially, mm-hmm. It's going to be tight.
Okay. Elizabeth, same question?
I'd also have to say Otana, just because we see them a lot, and they're really great competition for us. But another team that's good competition is Faribault, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're pretty close to them, and it's always nice to see how we line up with our neighbor.
And it's always nice to beat them, too.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Faribault. We don't like
exactly.
Faribault. I'm going to go on record. I don't like Faribault. I'm from Northfield. I was a Raider. I get it. I don't like Faribault. And then, Josh, same question to you. Favorite team to run against?
I think I'd have to say a little bit of Martin. I like running against my teammates and running with them. But as far as other teams, I really like running against Red Wing because we do get to run against them in cross country. They have a really good team. They've got some really strong guys. And in track, too, mm-hmm. we get to run against them. So it's fun to run against guys in both cross country and track, and you recognize them, and a lot of guys that are really fast and good to push yourself against.
One thing that, as I've interviewed the, you know, you guys over the years, the cross country team is running, just like swimming a lot, you really respect other people's performances. It's like a nice fraternity there. So if somebody on an opposing team has a great race and does well, everybody goes up and congratulates and everything. Elizabeth, talk about that aspect a little bit of running in general, cross country, track and field, etc., and the respect that you have for your competition.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the best things about the sport. It's one of the reasons why running is one of my favorite things to do, because it's not just, it's about how well you do, but when other people do well, it's like, oh yes, like good job, because you know what it's like to be there or to not be there, and so you admire people for what they're achieving, and you know how much hard work goes into it yourself. So I think it just gives you a greater understanding and respect for them.
Okay. Grace, what were some of the things that coming into this season here that you wanted to improve upon from your previous years on the cross country team? Areas of racing or your form that you wanted to work on?
For sure, summer running was something that I really wanted to work on. And I think I definitely did better than I have done in the past years with that. We did captain's practices in the morning, and that seemed to help a lot with a lot of other runners.
Okay. Josh, same question. Area of your style that you wanted to improve upon?
I think coming into this season, as it is my senior year, and you know, I knew it was going to be my last year running on the team, that was pretty sad just for me, just because I really love the team. But I really just wanted to improve on my times and really keep moving up in the team and be able to race varsity a few times, because I've always been kind of on the bubble, that first alternate or that first JV guy. So just always right there, but maybe not close enough. So I really just wanted to improve, and so I did put in a lot of work during the summer. I wasn't able to come to a lot of captain's practice just because of my job, but I did do a lot of running on my own. And just this season, I've really pushed myself to get past those running marks so I can set my lifetime best as often as possible.
All right. Martin's figuring it out because I saw him grab the microphone knowing that I'm probably going to ask him. I should just throw him off and just go right to Elizabeth. But I won't, Martin. You're right. I was going to ask you next question. Areas of your style that you wanted to come in and improve upon this year.
Yeah. Last year, I didn't run barely at all just because I was injured. So I went into this season like setting a goal for myself to run every single race. And so that's kind of meant trying to take it a little bit easier at practice so that I don't injure myself again. But it's been really great just to like be out again this year and be out running with the rest of the team and try to get back on the varsity squad like I was before.
Sounds good. And then swing it over to Elizabeth and areas of your running that you wanted to improve upon this year.
So I also wanted to improve on summer mileage just because it's something that I didn't do a lot of in the past, and I think it really helped. But I wanted to PR, but I also wanted to PR by a lot, I guess. And I'm still working towards that since I've only PR'd by like 10 seconds this year, which is about how much I did last year, and I just want to really drop a lot of time.
Okay. I'm going to swing back to Josh here. Favorite course to run?
Oh, okay. I think my favorite course would probably be Kassin, but we don't do that anymore, which is kind of sad.
Is it flooded out?
We did it last year, but it's 5 days before conference. Coach decided this year that it didn't really make sense for us to run it and then kill ourselves before conference and then not be able to run hard at either meet because we were tired. That was probably my favorite all time. But this year so far, my favorite's probably just been Owatonna. We run 3 meets there. It's super flat. It's always super fast. There's usually one time we go where it's also super wet, but it's always a really fun course just because there's a lot of people cheering, and it's really fast and lots of good competition.
Okay. Grace, your favorite course?
I would have to agree with Josh there that Kassin was my favorite, just because it's really pretty up there, and Northfield usually dominates.
Okay.
But besides that, Owatonna is always really fast to run on, so that one's good.
All right. Elizabeth, favorite course?
I have to say Owatonna is also my favorite. But since we've talked so much about Owatonna, my second favorite is Red Wing. I think it's also fast, and it's just really fun to run. Yeah. Like, there's some hills, but they're, like, rolling, and they add to the
speed, I think.
Okay. So. And then swing it over to Martin there. Martin?
I would have to agree about Red Wing because it seems like kind of the course of reckoning. Like those guys were saying Owatonna, and that's we run that near the end of the season. But Red Wing is kind of where we start PRing. I think something crazy like all of the girls' team are in season bests or something at Red Wing this year. So it's kind of where we get to see like what we can do and then bring that into conference and sections.
All right. You guys, unfortunately, are at the mercy of Mother Nature here. And it's, I'm sure you want to run in, you know, 65 degrees, little breeze, little sun on your back as you're trotting through and running through these courses, but it's been a really crappy fall here for running style. Guys, what do you do? How do you stay positive, I guess, knowing that Mother Nature hasn't exactly been the friendliest to you? Grace, do you guys do anything fun, or how do you make lemonade out of lemons, I guess, is what I'm trying to say with this coming weather?
We just, I don't know, kind of compare it to what summer running is like in August, where it's literally dying and heat exhaustion. So, I don't know. It's kind of nice. For me personally, I enjoy the cold, but yeah.
Josh, do you find that it could make you a stronger runner, a better runner, mentally strong as well with Mother Nature? Talk about that
aspect. I definitely say, like, well, this is the first year that we've had a meet canceled because of a tornado.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a first. We were up in Burnsville, and we got set up. We had our tent set up. We were ready to run, and then all of a sudden just lightning came down, and we're like, well, and so we sat in the bus, started pouring, and so that got canceled. And that was the whole tornado thing was a big part of our season, I think. It didn't really affect the team that much, but we went out and did a lot of help with it, which is really cool. But we had a few really tough workouts this year in downpours, and that was something that Coach always says is it definitely sucks, but it makes you so much better. And, I mean, the last meet we had, we ran in the rain. And, I mean, there were some kids that looked like they were just like, I want nothing to do with from other teams. I don't want to be out here in the rain, but we were like, hey, you know what? We ran in a downpour, hill repeats, so this is nothing compared to that. So it definitely makes us mentally stronger. And I think those days where it is really, like, really cold or really wet is oftentimes the days you remember really well because you make a lot of memories on those days.
All right. The Northfield Cross Country team. Next up, guys, Big Nine Conference meet, if I'm looking at here, schedules on October 16th. So, you know, I guess we'll ask all four of you here, what would you like to do? What is your goal as you take on the rest of the Big Nine in the conference meet? And we'll just go down the line, Elizabeth, starting with you.
So, like I mentioned earlier, I want a PR. I'm hoping to get below 20:30. And I also want the girls' team to place really well. Last year we got fourth in Big Nine, and I think we're hoping to get at least fourth again this year.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Sounds good. Swing it over to Martin there. Martin, your area of running that you would like to do as you get ready for the Big Nine meet here and what you want to accomplish at that meet.
Yeah, well, Coach has been talking a lot about negative splitting, which is something that I have not done yet.
Can I ask what negative splitting is?
It's where, so like you have, a race is about 3 miles. And so if you run the first mile slower than you run your next 2 miles, then it's a negative split because you lost time. And so that's something that I've seen a lot of people who've done that on the team have actually, it's been worked really well for them, and they've ran a lot faster because they've kind of had that strategy in mind. And so I'm hoping to try to use that to get as close to breaking 17 as possible.
17 minutes is what you'd like to do, or a little under 17 if
yes,
you can.
Possibly. We'll
possibly.
See.
Got it. All right, fair enough. Yep. Josh, same question?
Yeah, I'd say for me individually, I'd really like to get a lifetime best, break 19, because I've been chasing that all season, and I'm getting closer every meet, and I think this could be the one where I do it, and then sections hopefully improve on that more. As far as the team goes, I think last year the guys team was 10th out of 12th, and last year we had a really good guys team. We had our two top runners were, I mean, state level athletes, but we didn't, just because we didn't have the depth, it was just a little bit more difficult to get higher up against teams who have five guys who are running 16-minute 5Ks. So I'd really like to see our guys team get at least top eight at conference. I think it's totally doable. I'd also like to see the whole team, you know, 65% of the team gets a lifetime best or season best would be super awesome to see, and I think we can do all those things.
Very good. And then Grace?
Individually, I would really like to PR either in conference or sections, knowing the fact that I haven't PR'd since, like, ninth grade. I've come close, but I'm hoping to get there senior year. And then as a team, what Elizabeth said, hopefully getting fourth or possibly third, if we can catch Mankato West this year, that would be awesome.
Okay, very good. And then I have three seniors here, I believe, Elizabeth, Grace, and Josh. So I know it's early, but I'll just ask, any plans for next year? Do you have any plans set yet or still? And it's okay if you don't. It's still early, so not a big deal. I just thought I'd ask. So, Grace, what are your anything for next year so far?
Right now, I'm on a verbal agreement to run at University of Mary, North Dakota for track. Okay. So, yeah, that's where I'm going to go.
Very good. Josh?
My top school right now that I'm looking into is Wheaton in Illinois. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of St. Olaf, similar, very smaller liberal arts school. Not sure about running there yet. I haven't been able to contact their running department yet just because I'm not accepted technically.
Right.
So. But yeah, and at this point I'm just really just trying to get through senior year and mm-hmm. have a good year and be able to make some good memories on the team.
Absolutely. And then Elizabeth?
I've verbally committed to run at University of Mary in North Dakota.
Okay, sounds good. Well, that's awesome. And then the final question I have is, best part about being on this cross country team this year? What is the best thing about it? Martin, we're going to go to you with this question.
Well, I think that this has always been kind of the most attractive thing to cross country for me is my teammates. And this year especially, it's been like last year, I guess I wasn't as involved with the team just because I was injured and I wasn't out running. But this year we've made a lot of great memories and we've had a lot of good times with the team. So I'm glad that the kind of shenanigan spirit type thing is back again for this year. And it's been a really great season for that.
Sounds good. Grace, best part about this being on this team this year?
I'll have to agree with Martin. Just the team, the family aspect of it is awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to go run 9 miles at 8 a.m. in the morning, you can't not bond together.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Fair enough. Josh?
Yeah, I'd have to say I'm with these guys on that. I think what Grace said about it being a family, mm-hmm. I don't think there's a more fitting description. And we've had so many moments where the team has just really come together. The two that stand out to me was when we were on our annual training trip in Decorah, Iowa. We were running hill repeats on this like 400 meter long hill and it was brutal. And we had kids who did 5 more than they were supposed to. Mm-hmm. And the whole team just lined up along this hill and was just cheering and screaming. And that was really cool for me to see the team, you know, really come together and lift up, encourage their teammates through this hard workout. And I think the biggest thing for me this year, the biggest moment was after the tornado, the whole team, we met at Bridge Square and we just went out to all these different houses and we helped clean up and tried to just be good members of the community. And that was really cool to see the whole team unite under that. We have a really big age range. We have a lot of people who, a lot of different interests. We all came together into that common goal of just helping everyone out. And that was really, really meaningful to me.
Sounds good. And then we'll end with Elizabeth here. Favorite part about being on the cross country team?
Definitely the team all the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been like that. Like ever since seventh grade, it's cross country without the cross country team aspect is, I couldn't even imagine it. It's like nothing you've ever experienced. I don't know. Like, I've never been on a team like this, and it's sad because I don't think I ever will.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's an amazing place to be.
You know, it's something to be said, and especially you guys go with blood, sweat, and tears together, you know, all these years, and, mm-hmm. and especially cross country, you know, the boys and girls teams, you guys are pretty close,
yep.
and, you know, practice together, tight-knit, and you really grow close, where some sports are just boys or just girls, where there's not opportunities for both sexes to be able to participate, but cross country is one of them, and I think that's just a fantastic answer from all of you about being able to grow closer together and really go through it all together, because running ain't easy. I don't do it, as you can tell. I'm way out of shape. I gotta go do some of those hill climbers with you guys there, as I think I'd probably die after the first one. I'd be like, nope, yep, you young bucks, you go ahead and do your thing. But no, anyway, so guys, thank you so much for coming in today. We really appreciate it. Good luck at the Big Nine meet. Sections coming up after that, so we appreciate you coming in. Keep up the good work, and let's hope you achieve those goals that you guys were talking about, and I wish you all the best, and we'll keep following you, and I record your results, or I report on your results every week here on Raider Rap, so I'll keep doing that, and hopefully I have some good things to say about you guys. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That's Elizabeth and Grace Atchison, also Martin Bryce and Josh Beisel from the cross country team. We'll take a quick break and be back with Ned the Horse Farmer to talk Farmington football on Raider Rap.
plan for even more expensive healthcare? Lippert backs a complete government takeover of healthcare that would double our taxes. $17 billion in new taxes on Minnesota families. Lippert's takeover would close rural clinics and hospitals, jeopardize access to care, and put bureaucrats between us and doctors. And he'll keep taxing our insurance to pay for the broken Minsure site. Say no to Todd Lippert on November 6th.
This independent expenditure is paid for by the House Republican Campaign Committee. It is not coordinated with or approved by any candidate, nor is any candidate responsible
Liberal
for
it. Liberal Todd Lippert is no different from his Minneapolis party bosses. They raised taxes on farmers, families, and seniors by $2 billion, wasted millions on sculpture gardens and luxury offices for career politicians. Lippert's political pals made our health care bills skyrocket. They taxed our insurance to pay for the broken Minsure website, gave big bonuses to Minsure executives. We can't afford more of that. Say no to Todd Lippert on November 6th.
This independent expenditure is paid for by the House Republican Campaign Committee. It is not coordinated with or approved by any candidate, nor is any candidate responsible for it.
Wake up, take a shower, feed the kids, make kids lunch, kids to school, drive to work, work, drive home, help with homework, mow the lawn, kids to sports, run errands, make dinner, do the dishes, do the laundry, walk the dog, pick up the house, kids to bed. Wake up, take a shower, feed the kids, make kids lunch, kids to school, drive to work, work, drive home, help with homework, mow the lawn, kids to sports, run errands, make dinner, do the dishes, do the laundry, walk the dog, pick up the house, kids to bed.
Ah, kick your shoes off and relax.
As a proud supporter of Northfield Schools and Raider Athletics, everyone at ServiceMaster by Iat knows that life can seem to get away from you. Balancing daily schedules of work along with kids' school and sports schedules can seem to be impossible at times, but you find a way to do it. When you finally get a chance to kick your shoes off, ServiceMaster by Iat will make sure your feet relax on soft, clean floors. They deserve it.
All right, and welcome back, everybody, to Raider Rep. We're now going to be joined by Ned the Horse Farmer as he does Farmington football games. I'm going to bring him on right now and say good morning, Ned.
Good morning, Dusty.
How are we doing today?
Oh, not too bad. It's the sun's out.
The sun is out.
I'm better than that.
I was talking to the, I was just talking to the cross country guys, and yeah, we're kind of like looking outside and thinking, yeah, it's a nice day. Now's the day to go on a jog. Unfortunately for me, I got a football hangover here with the Owatonna game. Raiders shot themselves in the foot. Too many turnovers. Not enough play. I mean, I think if we play Owatonna again, it'll be a different outcome. I think Northfield knows that they kind of maybe let this one slip through their fingers a little bit. But your game against with the Farmington Tigers, Ned. Let's go ahead and recap it. And was it Burnsville today, or who did they play? I forget.
No, they're up playing Wayzata.
That's right.
Wayzata Stadium. Beautiful stadium. If you've ever been up there, it's a fabulous facility they have built up there. But both teams coming in, the Wayzata struggling a little bit this year. They're 3-3. Farmington, of course, 1-5 coming into the ball game. It was senior night for Wayzata, so a lot of different festivities going on. Let's get to the action. It didn't take Wayzata very long to get on the scoreboard. First play from scrimmage, 1st and 10 from the 15-yard line. 61-yard run by Firmiganti down to the 26-yard line. One play later, they're in the end zone. It's Firmiganti, 7-0 in favor of the Wayzata Trojans. Tigers go 4-0, get right back to the Trojans. 1st and 10, their 36-yard line, 5 plays, 64 yards. Firmiganti again going in from 2 yards out. It's 14-0. You're starting to read the handwriting on the wall already, Dusty?
I am. I am.
7:30. We're at the 7:32 mark of the first quarter. It is 14-0 already. Tigers 2 plays intercepted, and the Trojans take over 1st and 10, their own 31-yard line, 4 plays, 69 yards. This time it's Heidi DeHale in the back of the end zone, wide open. Nobody covered him, 21-0. Tigers get the ball back, 1st and 10, their own 30-yard line, 7 plays, interception on 4th and 6. They go for it. Put the Trojans back, 1st and 10, their own 28-yard line. Tigers stuff them, though, make them go 4 and out. A big changeover on the defensive side of things. Tigers, unfortunately, go 4 and out as well. They both exchange possessions. And then the Tigers get something rolling. It's 1st and 10, their own 35-yard line. We're in the second quarter now. First, and they take it all the way down. Jans runs 65 yards down to the 1 yard line. And this is where frustration sets in, Dusty. 1st and goal from the 1, 2nd and goal from the 2, 3rd and goal from the 3, 4th and goal from the 3. Jans drives up the middle, comes up 6 inches short of the end zone, and they give it back to the Trojans. Trojans 1st and 10 for the 1 yard line. First play from scrimmage. Pass over the middle of the tight end out to the 50-yard line. 2 plays later, it's Hale going in by himself, 28-0 in favor of the Trojans. But the Tigers not wanting to give up here. First and 10 for their own 21-yard line. 1 minute, 11 seconds to go before half. This time it's 10 plays, 79 yards. Jans finishes it out 8 yards in the end zone. It's 28-7. So with just under 1 minute to play, it's back to the Trojans. They don't sit on the ball. First and 10, 37-yard line. Three plays. It's Underhill into the end zone. We're going to the break 35-7. And so you're thinking this is going to be a blowout, right, Dusty?
Yeah, well, it sounded like it.
It sounded like it to me, too. I was actually outside last night broadcasting from the top of the press box last night. We got a little chilly out there.
I bet.
And I was thinking, well, you know, if they score one more time, we're going to run clock in the fourth quarter. It was not to be. Tigers come out first possession, second half. They start first and 10 and 25-yard line. Eight plays, 65 yards. As Jans going in from 3 yards out. It's 35-14. The Trojans first and 10, their own 25-yard line. Fumble the football. First play from scrimmage, it's Barrett, the sophomore, to ask the other sophomore in the end zone, 35-20. What? What's going on here? First and 10 for the Trojans. They throw an interception. Tigers take it. First and 10, their own 30-yard line. Eight plays, 70 yards. It's Barrett calling his own number around the outside, 35-26. Oh, what's going on here? So the Tigers get the ball back here, 35-26. They start first and 10, their own 37-yard line. But the Trojans take control, five plays in the end zone, 42-26. They would add another one, 49-26. But the Tigers wouldn't give up. Hedlund and the sophomores come back with in the fourth quarter. They tack on one more. This ends up 49-33. So Tigers, not wanting to give up, they give the victory to the Trojans, but they show a lot of poise and not giving up this football game, coming back. I mean, like, we're talking about an all-sophomore team, basically. Some juniors here against a full-fledged all-senior lineup for Wayzata. So give the Tigers credit. They come back home. They play Lakeville South on Wednesday. Lakeville South picking up a win last night against Shakopee. That'll be senior night for the Tigers. Then we go the break. We set up for playoffs. And, Dusty, the Super Six is kind of a weird setup. We both go, well, you might get a bye. I don't know where you guys, depending on how you do against Century, correct?
Yeah, correct. We beat Century, we get the bye, we lose, we do not. It's a battle for the 2-3 seed on Wednesday, so big game for Northfield.
Okay, so Wednesday they have Lakeville South, Farmington does, and who knows where they end up. They could end up all the way up in Stillwater or all the way over taking on the Blaine Bengals or something like that. If they should win that game and go to the next game, they actually play on Friday night. You guys have a little bit of a different schedule and let you play on Saturday. So we're going to split up the schedule a little bit. So Friday, the Super Six gets three games in less than 2 weeks. So that's kind of a weird setup there. So we'll see how that all shakes out, if who's going what, when, and where. But the Tigers have to pick up a win against Lakeville South on Wednesday. They have the ability to do it. They have the caliber to do it. They can pick up that win, end up 2-7 on the season. You know, not a great record, you know, but yeah, think about who these guys are playing. But they're showing some poise. I really give a lot of credit to this sophomore quarterback. You know, this Bear kid, he's got a great arm, very, very strong in the pocket. Got some time to throw last night. He was throwing some darts. And they just give up these huge plays. You know, you can't give up 65, 70-yard runs or when they got them first and 10 on the old 1 yard line, give up a 50-yard pass over the middle. So, Tigers, young team, we'll see where they go, Dusty. But that's it from my end of the world last night.
Well, I want to ask about that play, first and goal at the one, and then they weren't able to get it in. Do you think that was a changer of the game, or do you think in the long run that maybe didn't have so much to do with it as they came back out and on all cylinders, it sounds like, in the second half? I mean, how big was that not making that touchdown at that time, do you think?
Well, it was one of those things. You know, talking about shooting yourself in the foot. They had a first and goal from the one. You know, and they fumbled the football on the first snap. You know, so they got all excited about getting in the end zone. They're not thinking clearly. And, you know, Jans and Barrett have some trouble with the handoff. So they fumble the football, fall on it, thank goodness. Then you got a second and goal from the two. All right, so they tried to run it up the middle again. The Trojans know it's coming. They stuff them. It's third and goal from the three. You're going backwards. So they try a little bit of misdirection play, and they actually push it. It was like a big scrum. And you didn't know if you got in the end zone or not. You came up 6 inches short. That hurts. I mean, if you get a score there, you're looking at 28-7, and you come back on up the second half, and Tigers scored three touchdowns right one after another in that second and the third quarter, not wanting to give up here. So, yeah, it's a big one. You know, any football player will tell you when you get that close to the goal line and the defense stuffs you, it's demoralizing. It sets you back. But then you got to, get your mindset back on, playing the football game and, going through the offense like you're supposed to and just moving the ball, so.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, good luck again on Wednesday against Lakeville South. And this really does this. So seeding wise in the Super Six for Farmington, this game has implications, or is it a kind of a matter of how some other teams do where the Farmington Tigers play? I mean, obviously, do you want to win? Do you want to win? I guess is what I'm trying to say, for an easier schedule, or is it kind of worked out where, it doesn't really matter win or lose. You're going to still play, these teams,
Well, to tell the truth, Dusty, I really don't know how it's going to set up.
Right.
Certainly a win would be good.
Okay.
A win would be good. So last year, let me just look at last year, okay? So last year they finished the season at 1-7, and they went up and they played Roseville and battled them to a 7-0 loss. That was in the snow last year, by the way. Anyway, so in the Super 6, they go by points. So it's really weird how it works out. So they could end up playing somebody in the suburban Southwest, Green Division or something like that, but they won't end up playing a huge team like a Lakeville North. They won't play them the first round. They'll crisscross over. They could end up playing like someone like Maple Grove, something like that. But if they don't get the win, they'd certainly be on the road. If they get the win, who knows? Maybe they will have to win that first game though, and then they may end up coming back to their own stadium, but probably not.
So get a win and see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, that's basically it. Dusty.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Throw the dice in the middle and see how it goes.
Yeah, sounds good, Ed. Well, we wish you the best of luck against Lakeville South. And I think we'll be talking next Saturday here. We'll have a couple of days to kind of digest what happened with our games on Wednesday, but still have planned on having a Raider app on Saturday. So feel free to call in next week, and we'll kind of have a better idea of where maybe people are going to be and where the Tigers are going to end up here in the Super 6. So.
Well, I appreciate the time, Dusty. It's always fun. I can't believe this is the last game of the regular season already.
This season has gone by fast. This season has gone by fast. In the past, there's been times where it's like, gosh, we're only on week 5. Not the case this season. I agree, Ned. It seems like it's flown by here. I 100%. Like, wow, we're already at game 8, Like, dang.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll reset and see how far they go in the playoffs. You have a conference play, and if you get a bye, I'm guessing you'll be
still playing the conference. If we get a bye, what'll probably end up happening is we'll probably end up playing Rochester Century again. If we beat Century, we'll be the 2 seed. They'll be the 3 seed. They're going to go play somebody like Austin or something like that. And if they win, then we'll probably end up playing Century on Saturday as well. If we lose, same thing. We'll go play a team like in Austin or New Prague or somebody that's maybe not up to our level. We'll beat them on Tuesday, and then we'll have to go to Century and play the Panthers. So it's a matter of who wants to. We're probably going to have to play twice, but it's a matter of where do we want to play. Do we want both games in Northfield, which I would like, or do we want one game in Northfield and one game in Rochester, with the one in Rochester being in the playoffs and the one it's a win or go home. So that's what we have. So yeah, we got big implications.
What's the deal with Austin? They beat Mankato East last night. Like, what?
Yeah, well, Mankato, Austin's a sneaky, funny team where they played the Raiders tight that first half when we played them, and we thought that it was going to be, I thought Northfield should win, and then Northfield in the second half came out and busted a 50-yarder and then did it right back to them, so they got 2 touchdowns in the first, 4 minutes of the third quarter. Northfield did to kind of pad their lead. Otherwise, it was a dogfight. It was 10-7 against Austin at the half, and then Northfield came out and got up 21-7. Just like that, or 24-7, just like that. So, that kind of stopped Austin right there. But that's a good team. Yeah, don't sniff on Austin or whatever. But Rochester, Mayo, Century, I don't want to play any of these teams. I mean, I think we got it. It's a tough section this year. Of course, I believe it will come down to Owatonna and whoever else. And it should be Northfield. I think we have enough to beat Century. But Century knocked us out last year in the section semifinal. Mm-hmm. Minor upset there. And then they went to play Owatonna in the section final. Owatonna kicked the crap out of them. And one, and they just ran through the state tournament, walking into a state championship pretty much. They didn't really have any close games once they got to state. So, it's a dogfight. Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight, whoever we end up playing. But I want to buy because I'm busy on the 23rd, Tuesday the 23rd. I've got plans.
Yeah.
So if there's a football game, we're going to have to figure something out here. But anyways.
Well, Dusty, I'll step in for you anytime you want.
I'd love to do a Raider game. Well, I'm that. Don't go too far on that. Wouldn't you guys play on that Tuesday of the 23rd?
No.
You wouldn't?
No. Our schedule's different. Okay. 6A is different.
Sounds good. So, well, let's hope it doesn't come to that, Ned. Let's hope it doesn't come to that, but that I might take you up on that if need be, buddy, for sure. Because I got something with my church that I'm going on. We're going to go take a pilgrimage, one-day pilgrimage to Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I just don't know what time we're going to be back or whatever to push it. So, yeah, don't go too far on that. But it's good to have a backup. All right. Sounds good. Thanks for calling in, Ned.
Have a great Saturday.
You as well, buddy. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay. That's Ned the Horse Farmer, who does Farmington Tiger football on KYMNSports.net. Wish them the best of luck Wednesday against Lakeville South. I'm just going to go ahead and briefly recap how some Raider teams did. Raider Volleyball, again, we hope to call a couple of their games or whatever. They have a chance to win the Big Nine title outright. They had an undefeated conference meet earlier this week against Mankato West. They were able to beat Mankato West. And they were, They were able to beat Mankato West, and then they beat another team this week. And unfortunately, I am missing that sheet. But anyways, if they beat Faribault on Tuesday, then they will be the Big Nine champions and have a pretty good seed come section time. So I wish the volleyball team the best of luck. Want to talk about... soccer. Let's talk soccer. Boys and girls started section play. The Northfield girls team, they are seeded sixth. They took the advantage of 14-seeded Faribault, having to battle Elberly to a 2-0 win less than 24 hours before Thursday match. All credit to Faribault coming in play with less than 24 hours in between, but the fact that I think we had 3 days of practice and took a light day on Wednesday was really beneficial, Young said. 7 days before the tournament, the Raiders traveled to play the Falcons and left with a 3-0 victory. This time, though, they won 6-0. Northfield now advances to play third-seeded Fairmont in the quarterfinals. That game 1 p.m. today in Fairmont. So good luck to girls soccer. The boys soccer team. They took on Waseca, and they got a goal in overtime to win 2-1 at Northfield High School in the Section 2A tournament. Next up for the Northfield Raiders, they play today at Faribault, the tournament's top seed. So that two-game, 1 o'clock, so both soccer teams in play today. Northfield girls at Fairmont, Northfield boys at Faribault. Wish them the best of luck. And then we have got... Big Nine girls, Gator girls swim and dive. They had a meet against Faribault as they prep for the state true team meet. Again, also at 1 o'clock today. They're having a great season. I'm going to hope to have those guys on sooner rather than later. But girls swim and dive, just like football, the season can go quite long. So we have time to get them in or whatever. Want to try to get some of the other teams in before. But don't sniff out. Don't go too far. Gator girls swim and dive team, you will be on here very shortly when it works out for that. But good luck at the true team state meet going on today at the University of Minnesota. That's going to do it for Raider Wrap today. I want to thank all of my guests that stopped in today from the Raider football team, the boys and girls cross country team, also Ned the Horse Farmer, and thank all of you for listening. So thank you so much. Everyone out there, have a great day.